And welcome back to Velvet Owl Watches Movies So You Don't Have To. I hope it's a lovely day wherever you are. It's actually a lovely day today. We're near the high record in my part of the country. And it's really fucking sunny. And I hate the sun! It gives me a headache. And, you know, because it's still kind of cold. But the sun is there. And I don't know. It's too much for me. So I will watch a movie. This is your first time listening. The basic premise is I watch a movie, so you don't have to. It's right there in the title. And I know there's like 5 million bad movie podcasts, but I'm one of the few that record as I watch the movie. So you're getting like first-hand impact. Not first-hand impact. Sorry, I looked at a screen and I saw the word impact, and it got in my mind. First-hand reactions. So it's like, it's more like a reacts video than just a pure bad movie podcast. So I have no idea what's going on, and I haven't really researched what these movies are about. So today I'm watching No Contest, which I am watching purely because there was a quote. What was the quote? Da-da-da-da-da-da. Oh, yeah. She's like Bruce Lee with boobs. And how can you not like a tag quote like that? And I'm guessing the she it's referring to is Shannon Tweed, who I always love a good Shannon Tweed movie because boobs. So I think this, I'm hoping this film passes the Velvet Owl test. Again, if this is your first time listening, the Velvet Owl test states that a movie should have gratuitous nudity within the first 15 minutes. That way, if it's so terrible that you turn it off after 15 minutes, at least you got to see boobs. I think it's a good rule. Not every film follows it. And it doesn't always mean, like, that a movie's going to be good. It just means that you're going to at least get to see boobs for the 15 minutes you invested into the movie. And really, actually, it's all gratuitous nudity. So, it could be a floppy wang. That will still pass the Velvet Owl test. So, yeah, I don't know. It's got Shannon Tweed and Andrew Dice Clay. So how can I go wrong with this film? This film will go very, very wrong. I don't even care what it's about. So, let me hit play. And you hit pause. No, don't hit pause. Continue listening to me. Please. So the opening credits tell us that Roddy Piper's in this. So fuck yeah! That's got me excited. Because even in bad movies, and let's be realistic here, he's only been in one good movie, They Live, and everything else he's been in has been... No, I enjoyed Hell Comes to Frogtown. That was a fun movie, but not really good. And everything else he's been in has kind of just been absolute shit. But he's always fun to watch, because he's fucking Roddy Piper. And so I'm excited because he's going to be in this movie. So, a lot happened. Usually I pause much sooner so that I don't have to recount a lot from memory. But I feel like really not that much has happened. I'm already 15 minutes in and it failed. I have not seen boobs yet. But I'm still hopeful. But anyways, we're at this beauty pageant, Miss Galaxy. And the host for the beauty pageant is Shannon Tweed, star of Taekwondo, which is actually fantastic. That's a good joke. I would actually watch a movie called Taekwondo, in which she's a hot chick that kicks ass. You know, Bruce Lee with boobs, except we haven't gotten that line yet. I hope we do get that line. I hope that's actually something someone says in the movie and it's not just like tag phrase to sell the movie. It sells the movie for me. So I kind of wonder, was this part actually written for Cynthia Rothrock and they offered it to her and they showed her like, well, you do have to show your boobs at some point, and she's like, no, I do not do that. And good for sticking to your gun, Cynthia Rothrock. But I mean, this seems like tailor-made for Cynthia Rothrock, like a hot chick that does karate. I mean, Taekwondo sounds like a movie Cynthia Rothrock would have done. So, we got the beauty pageant, and blah, 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 you know, they do their beauty pageant thing. At one point, the camera, like, just kind of pans down and stays on Shannon Tweed's chest for, like, 10 seconds or so. And it's a very weird shot, in my opinion, because I don't know what... It's not like it's supposed to be, like, from a cameraman's point of view. You know, one of the cameramen shooting the beauty pageant. And I can't quite tell if it's supposed to be, like, some character's point of view looking at her chest. So it's just kind of odd. Like, I could understand if it was, like, naked boobs. Then, yeah, I would understand just kind of lingering there. But she's wearing a dress, so it just was a very odd shot. But then there's this grizzled old kind of Italian-looking acne-scarred face guy who's the bodyguard for Miss USA. Because something, I don't know. She's an important person, I guess. And, you know, he's very suspicious. But Shannon Tweed convinces him, like, oh, you know, just give her a break. You're, like, all over her, and she needs some space, so go outside and smoke. And he's like, oh, all right, I'll do that. And on his way out, he bumps into Andrew Dice Clay. That he seems very suspicious, Andrew Dice Clay, because he's got a fake mustache. At least I think it's a fake mustache. He might just be really bad at growing mustaches. So, but I think it's a fake mustache. And that should have been clue number one of, like, I better hang around, see what's going on here. But he goes, maybe I am being too paranoid, and goes outside to smoke. And once he's gone, Andrew Dice Clay, he's trying to get backstage, but the guard's like, oh no, you don't have the proper pass. He's like, ah, oh, fuck you, pulls out a gun and starts shooting. And him and his accomplice just start shooting everyone in glorious, like, 1990s action, low-budget action slow-mo. If you've never watched, like, those, like, late 80s, early 90s, like, action films that were always on Cinemax and HBO late at night, they're just glorious in their violence, because it's, like, super slow-mo, with everything being super exaggerated. It was a style. It was a stylistic choice, and it wasn't a good stylistic choice, and that's what made it so great. Because this is back in the era where people did not make bad films on purpose. They tried to make good films and made bad films. And that's why they are so glorious. Like, you'll get movies nowadays that will use these stylistic techniques, to try to mimic it and be like, haha, we're making a bad movie. And it's like, oh, fuck you, dude. I don't want to see someone make a bad movie. I want to see someone fail at making a good movie. That is the difference. That is the difference between the glorious, like, bad movies of yesteryear and the attempts at bad movies of nowadays. Yeah, but it is glorious watching this, and, you know, he goes on stage with the flowers because Miss France has won. And he pretends to be like, oh, yeah, I'm giving her the flowers so that no one knows. Oh, hey, by the way, everyone out there, choo-choo, pulls out his gun. Yeah, this is a hostage situation, and backstage, you know, all sorts of security guards are trying to run to save them, but all his other accomplices got, like, fucking Uzis and shit, and just glorious slow-mo violence. I cannot do justice to describe it, like, even just saying slow-mo, there's just something with the, like, the lighting and the camera lens and just the general cinematography, and, you know, I'm trying to put more thought into this than the people making the film did, but it is glorious. If you don't know, just, I don't know, Google, like, 90s low-budget action films, and you will probably get, like, tons of, like, compilations of this glorious shit. It is fantastic. I love it. I love it so much. But yeah, so they're just kind of bam bam and shooting everyone, and he says, like, you know, we're going to retire to our suite, and then we'll make our demands, and if you think I'm not serious, And kablam! He shoots Miss France. Oh yeah, he's serious. Once you kill a French chick, you're serious. There's no doubt about it. And the bodyguard of Miss USA, he's like made it back in. He's like trying to, you know, he's going to take down the bad guys, except one of the bad guys is behind him and has a gun. Like, yeah, don't play hero. Which is what the bad guys always say in these films, you know. Don't play hero. He's going to play the fucking hero later on when he gets his chance. And then, meanwhile, just more chaos. And I don't really know what's going on. I just like watching people get shot in slow motion. Now, instead of killing the bodyguard, they just kind of throw him out of there. Which, why? I mean, you've already shot so many people, and the bodyguard had a gun. So, do you think, like, he's not going to be, like, some sort of threat? Like, eh, just kick him out. We took his gun. What's he going to do? And he's got a crutch, so, or a cane, so, you know, he doesn't walk too good. What's he gonna do? Bad planning, terrorist. Bad planning. And yes, they are terrorists. Terrorists in movies aren't always Middle Eastern. I like when they have white people terrorists, because it's true, they are terrorists. Or, you know, European of some nondescript background, like Die Hard. Speaking of Die Hard, like, the composition of so many shots in this film are obviously taken from Die Hard. Because the bodyguard, he's calling Miss USA's father, who's a senator. So now I get why she has, like, this badass bodyguard. And he's standing in front of, the hotel where they're doing the beauty pageant. And seriously, it's like the fucking shots from Die Hard where Carl Winslow is calling someone, or he's talking to John McClane, and he's staying in front of the hotel. The composition is the exact same thing. It's, do you like that I'm saying words like composition? Yeah, like this is some sort of like fancy like film class type podcast. But anyhow, he's like calling like the senator, like, I'm sorry, I tried my best. And senator like, don't worry, I know that she's in good hands, because you will get her safe. And so he's going to get her back to safety somehow. Meanwhile, the terrorists have all like gathered up the beauty pageants and Shannon Tweed and brought them up to the penthouse. And one of the terrorists is Roddy Piper. And what? So far, he has not gotten to like do like any like cool like lines, any one-liners. He's fucking Roddy Piper! Why hire him if you're not going to just stick him there to rattle off one-liners? And although, to be fair, it looks like he doesn't really want to be there. He's just getting the paycheck. I mean, this is early 90s, so this is probably in between, like, after getting fired from WWF, but before he got hired by WCW. So he's just there for the paycheck. He's like, I thought my movie career would take off. But no, I am stuck in movies with Shannon Tweed and Andrew Dice Clay. And by the way, Andrew Dice Clay has taken off his fake mustache. So I was right! That's why, like, the bodyguard should have been like, oh, hold on. He's got an obvious fake mustache. This can't be right. This can't be good. Meanwhile, so, like, the terrorists are, like, forcing, like, the beauty pageant girls to, like, put their jewels in a sack. Because, in addition to whatever the demands are going to be, might as well steal their jewelry. I mean, you've gotten this far in breaking the law. You know, what's a little, like, petty theft? Or grand larceny theft? Because these jewels are probably worth a lot, so I don't know if they would quite qualify as petty. But Andrew Dice Clay is upset, and he's talking to his number two, who's not Roddy Piper. So Roddy Piper's pretty low on the totem pole here. But Andrew Dice Clay is, like, talking to his number two, and he's like, we were supposed to have 5 hostages. We've got 6. We've got an extra hostage. I don't like this. And he's like, what am I going to do? Like, just let Shannon Tweed go? No, we want her here. And Andrew Dice Clay isn't happy. I don't know, maybe because he knows, you know, she's the star of Taekwondo. If she gets out of line, we're going to have to shoot someone else. Which, again, at this point, you've shot so many people. Like, why not just, if you're so, like, upset about having too many hostages to begin with, which, I'm gonna say, and granted, I am not some sort of criminal mastermind, so I've never been in this situation, but isn't taking too many hostages actually, like, a good thing? Because now you have an extra hostage that you can use as a bargaining chip. You know, give us a little more. We'll give you this extra hostage that was not part of our plan to begin with. So I would think having an extra hostage is a good thing. But again, I'm not a criminal mastermind. And I'm not like a hostage negotiator. So I don't know. I mean, I would think having too many hostages is better than having too few hostages. I don't know. If anyone out there is like, knows what is the perfect amount of hostages to have. Yeah, but Andrew Dice Clay is not happy about having too many hostages. Now, the terrorist guys cut the power, you know, and just have like the small backup power to where they need to be. Because, I don't know, there's something. If you've seen any movie featuring hostages, I'm sure they explain better there why they have to cut the power. Meanwhile, they have, like, these bracelets, like, handcuffs that are bombs. And if they're, like, so they put one on each girl, and if they get separated, any handcuff that goes too far from the other ones, kablowie! And the girl will blow up. So, you know, no heroics. Because you can't have just one girl go off and try to be a hero on her own and escape. Because otherwise, kablowie! And they have enough handcuff bracelet bombs. Remember, Andrew Dice Clay was all like, we got too many hostages for our plan. Yet you have an extra cuff. Although, one of the terrorists says, like, this one was meant for Miss France. That Andrew Dice Clay shot. So, Andrew, I don't get your plan here. You are upset because there's too many hostages, but you had enough cuffs because you killed one of the people that were supposed to be your hostages. So you went off plan and are mad the other person went off plan, but I still don't get the plan and why. This makes no sense! I don't know. And then Roddy Piper has each girl take a card. And I thought he was going to do some sort of magic trick. I was like, oh, well, at least we get Roddy Piper doing some magic. That would be fun. But no, it's just to decide who's going to be the next one to be killed by whoever got the lowest card. And amazingly, they all pulled, like, threes. Except for the final girl, who pulled a two. So, you know, she's going to be the next one that gets killed. But there's seven, so six threes? Not sure how that worked out. This is a fucking loaded deck. Even, actually, I think a couple of them might have been fours. But still, for them to only be two, threes, and fours, what are the odds of that? Like, surely someone had to have, like, pulled a high card. Like, someone would have gotten an eight. Like, this is a loaded deck. That's why I think, like, he originally was going to do some magic tricks. And, I don't know, maybe there's still hope that he will do a magic trick. I hope. I hold out hope. Hold out hope for some magic from Roddy Piper. And then they decide Shannon Tweed is going to talk to the hostage negotiator and read, like, a prepared statement. So, again, Andrew Dice Clay, aren't you glad that this guy went off plan and took too many hostages? And took Shannon Tweed, who wasn't supposed to be a hostage. Because now she's going to read to the hostage negotiator the demands, which are $10 million in diamonds. Or $6 million. I don't know. A lot of diamonds. Like, it was either $10 million in 6 minutes, or $6 million in 10 minutes. Or it might have been an hour. I don't know. All we know is a lot of fucking diamonds in a little bit of time. And if they don't get it, They're gonna take off, take out the girls one by one. So, okay, so I guess I see why you're mad about too many hostages, because if you take them out one by one, then that extends the amount of time. But no, you want more time so that they have more time to get those fucking diamonds! Andrew! I do not like your plan whatsoever. And, you know, hostage negotiator's like, I don't think we can get... I don't even know if he really is a hostage negotiator, or he's just, like, the chief of police who's trying to negotiate, which... Why does your company not have a hostage negotiator? You should have a hostage... Have a hostage negotiator talk with a terrorist. That's what they do. You always have a... If there's hostages, you get a negotiator. That's just, that's just, you know, it is. It is what it is. And, you know, they're not fooling around, and they show it by blowing up a car in the parking lot. Because some of the cars have been bombed. Whatever the word is. They stuck bombs on some of the cars. So, you get those fucking diamonds as soon as you can. For Andrew Dyson. Aren't you also supposed to ask for a plane so you can get the fuck out of there? Like, it's one thing like, oh, here's your diamonds. Okay, here's the hostages. Oh, shit. How are we getting out of here? Uh-oh, you all get arrested. You're supposed to ask for a plane as well as the diamonds so that you can get the fuck out of there. And hopefully an invisible plane so that they can't see where you're flying to. So one of the lowly cops, she figured out, hey, there's a back entrance that the builders put in for some reason. I don't know. I kind of tuned out a little because she was just droning on. And it wasn't a matter of, oh, I'm not going to listen to the woman cop. So if it was a guy cop giving the explanation, I would have tuned out as well. It was just, whatever. But, you know, good work. She is going to get a promotion from this. Because obviously she's got the Carl Winslow role that she's going to help save the day. So, the ETF? What the fuck's the ETF? Is that a real thing? I guess Emergency Task Force? I've never heard of ETF. And granted, I don't know much about the government, but I know about movies, and I've never heard of an ETF squad being sent to save hostages. But they get sent, and they go in the back way. Unfortunately, yeah, the terrorists are watching, and they see it, and they're like, ah, we've got remote-controlled guns. Goodbye, cops. Bang, bang, bang! They're dead. Oh, boy. Sorry, lady cop. No promotion for you. You're getting demoted. You're gonna get your ass fired. Sorry. Luck of the draw. And Andrew Dice Clay is just upset. He's like, why don't they take me seriously? You know, I killed people on TV, and I took this place hostage, and I've blown shit up. And they're not taking me seriously about this. Okay, we're going to kill more people. Send one of the girls out to the lobby, Roddy Piper, and shoot her. And of course he chooses the one that drew the low card. Then Shannon Tweed's like, no, take me instead. And Roddy Piper's like, you're next, honey. And, oh yeah, I forgot, there was a, before that, like, one of the other terrorists is like, talking to the girls, he's like, how are women like tiles? You lay them right the first time, you can walk all over them. Oh, boy, that... Even in the pantheon of bad jokes told by henchmen, that has got to be, like, the worst. But anyways, you know, they're going to take the one lady, but one of the other girls is like, no, I can't do this, and she runs, and she keeps running, and they're like, oh, no, we got to chase after her. But Andrew Dice Clay is like, let her go. So remember, she's got the bomb on her wrist, and if she gets too far from the others, which she does, you guessed it, kablooey! And the force is enough to send her charred body flying out, and a fireball is just flying down the sky. And the manager of the hotel is like, I'm keeping track. When this is over, the police, you have to pay for all the repairs. So good for him to be concerned about the damage to the building. Never mind that they just fucking killed another one of the girls. They destroyed one of his windows. So seeing the girl go kablooey makes Andrew Dice Clay all excited. Like, yeah, people are going to take me seriously from now on, right? And so he requests to speak specifically to the bodyguard. And he's like, you know what this is about. You get the senator, and I want him to deliver the diamonds personally. And the police chief says to the bodyguard, what does he mean? How do you know him? And bodyguard's like, I don't know if I know him. Oh, I'm sure you know him. You have some sort of back history. You probably were in the war together or something. And so Andrew Dice Clay goes up to the women and he's like, see what you made me do? And I will kill. And then he talks about tigers and they don't kill for the meat, they kill for the blood. Which, I mean, I guess sounds plausible. I don't know. I don't know much about tiger physiology. So I don't know if they actually do kill just for the blood and to crunch bones in their teeth. And so he then takes another of the women. He's like, come with me. And she's like, okay, I'll do whatever you ask. He's like, and he says to the other woman, see, if you comply, you'll be rewarded. And he takes her to the back room and, oh, hey, apparently they're in on it together. I should have seen that coming. Because looking back, it was so fucking obvious. Because that's what every one of these movies does, isn't it? Like, they have, like, an inside person. And she's about to give him a blowjob. And he's like, no, first I'm going to make you sweat. Which I take to mean he's going to make her come first. Who expected Andrew Dice Clay to be, like, a gentle, caring lover? To be like, before I get my blowjob, I'm going to make sure you orgasm first. Which is the way it should be. I just did not expect that from Andrew Dice Clay. See, this was after I think he was moving away from the Dice Man persona. Because he realized, wow, this is a fucking horrible persona. Like, oh yeah, it was all a joke, the misogynist thing. So I'm going to show I'm not a misogynist. Because in this movie that, like, three people will watch, I will make the woman come first before I get my blowjob. I think Andrew Dice Clay specifically asked for this scene just to help rehabilitate his image with the ladies. Meanwhile, Shannon Tweed's like, I'll use this idea. And she starts seducing the terrorist that's not Roddy Piper. And she's like, you know, there's a pool downstairs. We can go and cool off. And Roddy Piper's telling him, don't do it, man. Don't do it. Remember Cairo? So I'm guessing back in Cairo, he fucked things up because he wanted to go bang a woman. Which sounds about right. Sorry, I got distracted by something. I had a coupon on my desk, and it's expired! I could have used this coupon. Genuinely, I could have used that coupon. But it's expired. So I'm going to take a moment of sadness to mourn this coupon. So the terrorist deactivates Shannon Tweed's bracelet bomb and brings her down to the pool. Luckily for Shannon, the guys that are supposed to keep an eye on the monitors and the security cameras are too busy playing computer chess to see what's going on. So once they get down to the pool, the guy's getting all ready, taking off his clothes, like, all right, let's get some action. And then Shannon Tweed gives him some action. Action from her foot and fist. And that was one of those lines that sounded a lot better in my head than before it came out of my mouth. So she kicks his ass handily and kicks him into the pool. And then she grabs the phone and calls the police and lets them know what's going on. Now, the head chief, he wants to try to help her get out, but the bodyguard knows she's better off inside to help them free the other girls. So, you know, she's maintaining communication and she hides in the vent to get away from the terrorist. This seems familiar. What is that movie that someone is fighting terrorists in a building, so he hides in the vents to get around? Yeah. You know, forget Bruce Lee with boobs. This is Die Hard with boobs. And mind you, I am not complaining. That is a good... You know, if someone came to me and I had the money to make a movie and they said, we want to make Die Hard, but with boobs, I'd be like, yeah, sign me up yesterday. So while Shannon Tweed's moving through the shafts, she sees that there one of the girls is with Andrew Dice Clay. Like, oh no, she's a traitor. She's in on it. And I forget if I mentioned it yet, but this is Miss Galaxy, so theoretically, like, there's from different countries, right? Only one girl from USA. Yet none of the girls have accents. I mean, Miss France got killed pretty quick, so I didn't get to hear her, so I don't know if she had a French accent. But no one else has any sort of accent, and they should be from other countries. I mean, there's Miss Canada, like, okay, Miss Canada probably doesn't really have much of an accent. But come on, they're from other countries, right? Movie, you're losing me. You're losing me with your lack of realism. But so, meanwhile, the terrorist who just totally got hosed, but he's still alive, goes to the IT guys that are supposed to be on security and all that, and they're like, and he's like, yeah, so Shannon Tweed, kicked my ass, and now she's running, and I don't want to tell Andrew Dice Clay, because he's going to be really mad about it. See, I deactivated her bomb, because I wanted to get it on with her. So, let's find her herself. And one of the guys is like, haven't you seen one of her movies? Of course she's going to kick your ass. She's like Bruce Lee with boobs. So there's the description. There it is, the line. So she's Bruce Lee with boobs. Although really, this movie is Die Hard with boobs. And I really hope that that's how the film got pitched. Die Hard with boobs. And so they decide, like, well, we can remotely activate her bomb thing again. And so they do. But it takes a minute for it to fully load. And so, like, while it's beeping, Shannon Tweed calls a security guard. Not the bodyguard. Because, you know, he's got some sort of war training. And she tells him, like, about the bomb. And he helps her, walks her through being able to get it off. Meanwhile, the traitor girl comes in and she sees Shannon Tweed, and Shannon Tweed sticks the gun in her face like, get out of here, I'll blow your brains out. And then Shannon Tweed runs, and the girl, like, goes to where Shannon Tweed was, and, uh-oh, the bomb is there. Kablooey! She's dead. She deserves it. She screwed over everyone else. So Andrew Dice Clay, he's like, shit's going down, so I gotta find out what's going on. So he goes to the recon room. Wherever they're looking through security cameras. And he's like, what's going on? What the fuck is going on? My plan's going to shit. And they're like, yeah, Shannon Tweed kind of escaped. Really, whose fault is this? And they all point to the one dude. And he's like, okay, I'm going to shoot you for being such a fuck-up. But the terrorist sees all like, whoa, hold on. Because I've got a dead man switch in my watch. That's right. You kill me, kablooey! Which was very smart of him, actually. Like, yeah, a little, you know, insurance that Andrew Dice Clay wouldn't kill him. But unfortunately, a smart dude, one of the smart nerds, he's all like, oh, well, you know, I can disable it. Just give me some time. And in the meantime, Andrew Dice Clay is like, well, I can't kill you just yet, but I can cause you a lot of fucking pain. Shoots him in the kneecaps and in the shoulders. Which, you know, if they're unable to, you know, disengage him, at least this guy's gonna spend the rest of his life in a lot of fucking pain. But, disengaged, nerd managed to do it, and so now that he's not needed, kablooey! Well, not kablooey, just kabam! Kablooey is a bomb. Kabam is being shot with the gun. And so now he's dead. He's out of here. And Andrew Dice Clay is like, can you set this up to be my pulse? And, you know, what is fucking nerd boy gonna do? Say no? He wants to live, so he says, yeah, they're gonna pull it up to Andrew Dice Clay's pulse. And then that way, he's got a little insurance. Meanwhile, up in the penthouse, Roddy Piper is watching some wrestling with the girls, Kahuna Crush versus Tatanka in a lumberjack match, from what I can see. Because I'm a fucking wrestling nerd. I'm like, oh, that's Kahuna Crush, and that's Tatanka, and there's a bunch of wrestlers around the ring, so it must be a lumberjack match. So, and Roddy Piper is probably watching it like, I wish I could be wrestling. So Andrew Dice Clay calls up to Roddy Piper and says, Shannon Tweed's out on the loose. I need you to go find her and leave the other guy with the broads. And so Roddy Piper, because he's just a henchman, is like, sure, I'll run off. And the other guy is like, hey, ladies, what did the guy say to the woman after she crossed the road? Who let you out of the kitchen? Ho! Yeah, I think this guy's getting his jokes from the Andrew Dice Clay joke book. That is part of Andrew Dice Clay's like plan with this movie was, okay, I'll make myself look like a sensitive lover, and then I'll have the other guy tell the Dice Man jokes. And I'll look better by comparison. So Roddy Piper finds Shannon Tweed in the kitchen. Oh, jeez. I didn't even put that two and two together until I just said it. And I don't think it really was meant that way, because there was like some talking in between the two scenes that I didn't feel like going over. So it just kind of a happy accident of like a woman in the kitchen joke cutting to a woman in a kitchen. So they fight, and Roddy Piper's about to kill her without any sort of one-liners. What the fuck? Why did you cast Roddy Piper in this part if you weren't going to have him spout off one-liners? But Shannon Tweed won't be killed that easily, and they fight, and she kicks his ass and runs off. And Andrew Dice Clay is just losing his shit now, like, what the fuck? This is all going wrong, this is all going wrong, and he's, like, smashing everything, because he's going crazy, he's going out of his mind. So Shannon Tweed makes it to the garage, and she finds Van full of explosives. Oh no, that's not good. That is not good. And one of the other terrorists who's wearing a Grateful Dead shirt. Ironic, because if you really want to terrorize someone, play them some Grateful Dead. And so, I've been waiting so long to use that line. I just thought of it right now, but I hate the Grateful Dead. So, but he's got a Uzi, and he sneaks up on Shannon Tweed. And she has no choice, so she shoots him. She killed someone. It's not easy, your first kill. I assume. I haven't killed anyone yet. I don't like putting the word yet there, but I never know what the future will be. It hopefully won't happen, but, you know, I might find myself in a situation where a deadhead is staring me down with an Uzi. So she kills him, and the deadhead is dead. No, they didn't use that line. What the fuck, screenwriter? Please someone tell me that at least at some point in production or during one of the drafts of the screenplay, that line was in there, and someone just decided to take it out. Because I don't know if I could handle the line just never existing at all. So she manages to call the police and tells them about the van full of bombs. And oh no, because the police see that, that it's near a structural load-bearing wall or something. And if it blows up, it's going to bring the entire hotel down. Oh no. And so they got to go radio silence because the phone call might trigger the bomb. We can't have that. And so Shannon Tweed makes it to the nerdy guy who's watching the video cameras and all that, and she tells him to deactivate everything. You know, deactivate the bomb bracelets and the bombs in the van, and just deactivate everything. And he's like, oh, well, what are you going to do, kill me? But she's got something worse than death in mind. She points the gun at his balls. Because, I mean, seriously, like, someone points a gun towards my junk, I will do anything they ask to the best of my abilities, and even push myself beyond my abilities, because that's a gun at my balls, and that's the last place I want to be shot. I'd rather take a bullet to the head than a bullet to the balls. And come on, I'm not the only guy that's got his priorities like that. So he deactivates everything, and Andrew Dice Clay realizes, oh, Shannon Tweed must have gotten to the nerdy guy, because everything's going all wacky. Well, Shannon Tweed, you get your ass back up here, or I'm going to start killing some of these girls. And so she ties up the nerdy guy, and I don't know, I guess he's going to be that, I don't know. He's just tied up so he can't do anything, and I'm not sure whether or not she got him to deactivate the dead man's switch in Andrew Dice Clay's heartbeat, because she saw, like, the beeping monitor and asked him to deactivate it, and he was all like, oh, no, it's just a screensaver. So I don't know, but hopefully, because, you know, when they kill Andrew Dice Clay, we don't want everything going kablooey. So she tells the police, and the police are all like, all right, everything's deactivated, let's rush in. And Shannon Tweed, you find a safe spot to hide. But Shannon Tweed, she's not going to hide because she's got to go save her friends. Well, they're not really her friends because she's only met them tonight, and she probably hasn't really hung out with them long enough to become friends. But they are human beings, and that's what's important. She cannot let other humans die unless they're terrorist scum. So Shannon Tweed makes it up to the penthouse before Andrew Dice Clay can hurt any of the women. And she's got her Uzi set on sight. And she's just got it pointed. She's gonna kill Andrew Dice Clay. She says, it's over. He's like, it's not over yet. And from behind, Roddy Piper knocks her out. Without saying a one-liner. This really hurts me, movie. Hurts, like, you could have just gotten any generic actor to play this part, but you got Roddy Piper and not have him do the one thing he does best. And you also have Shannon Tweed not doing the one thing she does best, which is showing her boobs. So I am so this movie upsets me so much. Meanwhile, the ETF have swarmed in the place. Fucking ETF. Like, that bugs me. I'm gonna Google this. Is there a such thing as an ETF? Because it is bugging the fuck out of me. What is the ETF? Google machine? The Exchange Traded Fund. Yeah, I can see why you would want to send that after the terrorists. Anyhow, I'm sorry, this movie's just pissing me off in all sorts of ways. But so they run in and they find a nerdy terrorist, but remember, he's all tied up. So they're thinking like, oh, he must be another hostage. So they free him, not knowing, and then he just goes and starts killing them. And which apparently the ETF forgot to wear, like, bulletproof vests. So he just mows them down, except for the one lowly cop who, you know, fuck things up earlier, and she's there trying to help, and she gets shot, but luckily, she's still got her vest on, so she's not completely dead. She's only mostly dead, and she pulls her gun and points it at the nerdy guy, and I don't know, this could be one of the best death scenes ever. He looks at her and goes, bummer. She shoots him. That was fantastic. I want to see more deaths in films where the guy just realizes he's gonna die, and it's just like, bummer. Like, he just accepts that this is the end for him. So the senator arrives, and apparently Andrew Dice Clay did something for him, worked at one of his companies, and was drug running, and I don't know. I've given up on this movie. There's some fighting that goes on, and Roddy Piper gets his eye gouged out, and another guy gets impaled on something, and Andrew Dice Clay takes the senator's daughter hostage while the other girls are running and guns shooting everywhere, and Shannon Tweed finds an ice machine and eats some ice. I'm not joking, but I mean, I can understand why, like, all this running and fighting. She's probably, like, dehydrated at this point, so some ice could help. And then she sees a towel, and so she's going to fill up the towel with ice for something. She's got a plan. I don't know. And there's like a makeshift pulley elevator, something or other, that looks rickety and dangerous that the senator is supposed to get in and go up to the top. But the police are like, don't worry, we'll just send one of our guys dressed as you. But one of the other guys pulls out a gun on him and is like, I'm sorry, but it's got to be the senator. And, oh no, this guy, who I have no idea, and I haven't seen him before. I think he was there with the senator. He's in on it, too. Hooray. Just, kill them all, please. Just, there's still a lot of this movie left. I'm going to cry now. Then Shannon Tweed comes up and beats Roddy Piper to a bloody pulp with the towel wrapped with ice, or ice trapped in a towel, or whatever. And she just beats him, and then she's like, I iced him. Sure, that's the pun we get for the film. That's the one-liner. And then the senator gets on the makeshift elevator trolley thing to go up to the roof, and the bodyguard takes his cane, and latches it on and catches a ride to the roof, and I just don't even care anymore. I call it quits. Stuff happens. The good guys win. I'm out. I'm just dead. This is a film where Shannon Tweed does not show her boobs, and Roddy Piper does not deliver any one-liners. So, yeah, this is not worth your time. I mean, Andrew Dice Clay was kind of fun for a while with his performance, but... Oh. I need a drink. I don't even drink anymore, but I need one now. You know the deal. Unless this is your first time listening. VelvetOwl@hotmail.com, or leave a comment in the comments section if you're on YouTube. Or if you're listening in something else that might have comment sections, I probably won't ever see them. So, good luck. Or you can, you know, telepathically send me signals. Let me know what you thought. Let me know if there's a movie you want me to watch so you don't have to. Or just send me, like, a drawing. Something that you're, like, 5-year-old toddler did. I'd be cool with that. Something that shows you care. But I love you all.